You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, hey guys, we're excited about this weekend to really challenge all of us to live the gospel in the area of surrender. And so I want to welcome you guys. Maybe you're in Olathe, welcome, or you're at our South Overland Park campus in the venue or auditorium, or online. I want to begin with a story that was years ago. So I was working full-time job as an engineer at Black & Veatch. I was driving from Overland Park to Raytown to attend Graceway Church. I was serving in ministry there as a volunteer. And then at the time, Graceway, they still do. They had these two big brick buildings next door to them, which were kind of a ministry area, Temple Heights Manor 1 and 2. So there's these two buildings they built next door to the Graceway building. And so they used it for kind of people who were aging that wanted a place to stay or lower income, those kinds of things. So every year before the Christmas time happened, they have these Christmas lights. Someone had to actually fix the Christmas lights. And so my friend named Jim said, "Hey, it's November. You want to help me fix the Christmas lights?" And I foolishly said yes. So I'll just ask, in all of our locations, if you're in Olathe, the venue, if you're in the auditorium, Overland Park, would you raise your hand nice and high if you've ever been rappelling? Raise your hand nice and high. Look around. Okay, those guys are just as crazy as me rappelling. So the next picture is when you're ready for rappelling. This is a terrifying moment. So there's this moment when I'm at the top of this 8-story brick building, and my expert, Jim, is promising me that I'm going to be okay. He's promising me, and he says that the ropes are going to hold me. And so I'm there. I'm there. I got a hand here, my hand here, and I'm telling you, when you look down between your legs and see 8 stories down, dude, your knees buckle. Everything in your body tells you not to believe the promise that you're going to be okay. I considered backing out. Like, I'm good. I'm good. No, seriously. But whether it's peer pressure or shame or whatever, I was shaking. And here was the battle. I was battling between my handler, my expert, whether I believed him, and the ropes holding me. Do I believe the promises? Or do I trust my feelings? Because I didn't feel like it was going to work. Do I trust what I see, which is 8 stories down? Guys, this is what we're talking about this weekend. We're talking about surrender. There are moments that you're on your own building, and God is your expert, and the Bible is full of promises, and there's a certain promise that God promises. If you just lean back, I got you. I promise I'm going to come through. But everything you feel and everything you see tells you not to trust, not to back away, not to surrender. What is that thing God wants you to surrender? That is the gospel, by the way. Surrender is the gospel. So 2,000 years ago, God the Father surrendered his son, what he loved the most, on the cross. The gospel is surrender. The gospel is surrender. Jesus Christ surrendered his home in heaven, his comfort in heaven, became a nobody. Then he surrendered his life through suffering, death, burial, resurrection. The gospel is surrender. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your life is kind of a periodic, repeated surrender. And so we're actually in a series right now on 5 key women of the Bible. Eve, Deborah, Esther, the woman at the well. This is Hannah this week. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 with Hannah. Hannah was a godly woman, went through incredible trials, gave birth to Samuel, one of the greatest leaders in the history of the world. 2 books of our Bible are named after Samuel. Sheila Conister was going to teach with me this weekend, but she came to me last week, early in the week, and said, "I have no peace from God for whatever reason for teaching this weekend coming up. Maybe in 2 weeks, I have no peace." So I do what I do with any of our leaders when there's a change midstream. I challenged her in kind ways, and I said, what are the real motives underneath that hesitance? So we talked about it. We prayed about it. She still had no peace. I said, okay. So she'll be teaching next week with me. In hindsight, her week blew up. She's like, okay, that's why. And so this week, you're stuck with me. But she's back next week. So we're going to be talking to Hannah. Just like Hannah, we were designed for surrender to God. So in the story, Hannah has her own building, her own challenge. And everything she feels tells her not to trust God. I want you to know something about feelings. Enjoy your feelings. Be blessed by your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. They are untrustworthy. You're there to be enjoyed and to be blessed, not denied, just not trusted. She had a choice. Does she trust what she sees or what the handler is promising? And she did it in three ways, by the way. Three moments of surrender. We're going to see three moments of surrender. She surrendered in her sorrows. When you are sad, when you are sorrowful, what do you run to? What do you surrender to deal with those sadnesses or sorrows? God stands arms wide open, waiting for you to come to Him in your sorrows. She does that. Then she surrenders because she has actual promises she's trusting God for. And she surrenders and believes. It's an act of surrender, trusting God's promises, trusting your handler. And then she surrenders what she loves the most. What do you want the most? What do you love the most? And if God put His hand out like this, would you? Totally take your hands off that and surrender it, risking Him giving it right back, holding it back for a time, or taking it away forever to be replaced by something else He has in store. That is the gospel. The gospel is surrender. And when you live the gospel, it's a continual story of periodic surrender. So let's pray, and we'll see Hannah doing this. It's incredible. Lord, I pray that You would move in our midst for people who have not yet surrendered their souls and lives to the gospel. The gospel is surrender. Jesus Christ, You surrendered heaven, comfort, attention. You surrendered your life in suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Father, You surrendered what You love the most in this world, Christ, at the cross to pay for our sins, to reconcile us. And God, You call each one of us to surrender. May people receive the gospel if they've not done so. Surrendering their lives. May people actually, if God, You're holding Your hand out to somebody, may they surrender that next thing. Might not even be sinful. It might just be something that God wants to remove for a season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so three moments of Hannah's surrender. Just like Hannah, we were designed for surrender to God. Here's the first area. Hannah surrendered by seeking God in sorrow. She surrendered by seeking God in her sorrow. Now I'll ask you specifically, what do you seek when you're sad? When you're down, when you're depressed, when you're sad, what do you seek? Do you try to numb your sorrows? Some people try to eat away their sorrows. I just want to feel better. They drink away their sorrows. I just don't want to feel it. They pop pills or smoke away their sorrows. Where do you run when you have sorrows? Some people try to drown out the noise of their sorrows. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. I'm just going to surf. I'm just going to check out. I'm just going to see what's happening on social media. I just don't want to think. I want to distract myself from my sorrows. Where do you run when you have sorrows? Some people try to bury their sorrows. I'll bury it in homework, in my job work, in busy work. I just don't want to think about them. When God stands with open arms open wide. We see this, by the way. Let me tell the story of Hannah now. Hannah is a woman that appears on the scene in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The story starts with her husband. Her husband's name is Elkanah. Elkanah, if you're expecting, there's a great baby boy name. His nickname is Elk. Hey, Elk, get over here. And so Elkanah is a man who is of the tribe of Ephraim. He lived in the mountains of Ephraim, some 4 to 5 miles northwest of Jerusalem. He lived at the end of the days of the judges. And you can find out about those times from our message 2 weeks ago on the judge named Deborah. Elkanah married two ladies. First wife, Hannah, who he loved dearly. Second wife, Penina, who he kept having kids with. And it was really incredible for hard for Hannah because she wanted children and her husband loved her. The problem? Penina, the second wife, was in her head constantly with negative voices. Who knows what she said to her? You're a bad woman. That's why you don't have kids. It'll always be this way. It's never going to change. You probably sinned. That's probably why you're not blessed. I'm better than you. You'll never be like Penina. I bet Elkanah doesn't even love you like he loves me. God doesn't love you like he loves other people. You're a fraud and people are going to find out. Who knows what in the world she heard in her head over and over from her enemy, Penina. And it made her miserable. I mean, she even talked to her when she went. So once a year, they would travel north. At that point, the Ark of the Covenant was 9 miles north of them in a city called Shiloh or area. On the mountain of Shiloh, there was the tent of the tabernacle and the Ark was there. So once a year, Jewish people would travel there and make a sacrifice, worship God. And Penina was in her head during worship. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she, that's Penina, the second wife, provoked her. That's Hannah, the first wife. Therefore, she, Hannah, wept. Guys, she was miserable from the voice of her enemy. She wept, and she did not eat. A couple things about this verse. Notice that this is a prayer request she's had year by year. Just how long would you pray for something? Year after year after year, in misery, but continuing to seek God, surrendering by seeking God in your sorrows. She did that. She was believing a promise from Deuteronomy chapter 4, by the way. Deuteronomy 4 talks about if you seek the Lord with all your heart, he will be found. She's like, God, I believe. She's like, I am going to keep seeking you. I'm going to keep bending back. Deuteronomy 4 says that I will find you and you'll find me. She was not going to let go of that promise. The other thing is notice that she's not eating. She's fasting and praying. And you might write down Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Mark 9, 29 says that certain prayer requests are so demonically entrenched that God does not answer your prayer unless you're willing to fast and pray. This kind doesn't come out unless you're not eating, whether it's a meal, a couple meals, a day, a few days, whatever it is, unless fasting is a part of your prayer. Mark 9, 29. So she goes up there. And she actually, now it's 1065 BC, and she travels and makes a vow before the Lord. It says in verse 11, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if, a vow is an if-then statement, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but we'll give your maidservant a male child. God, if you give me a baby boy, then I will give. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall come on his head. So she makes a vow. And she says, God, if you do this, I promise to give this child to you. And she makes a vow and says that this boy will be a Nazirite from the womb. Now, you get that from no razor shall come upon his head. In the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 6, you can write down Numbers chapter 6, God gave a way for any Israelite, any Jew, to separate themselves for God, whether it's a man, a woman. You didn't have to be a Levite or a priest to separate yourself from God. This was to the average person. God, I will separate myself for time, and I will do two things. Number one, I will not shave any hair or cut any hair on my body. Number two, I won't eat grapes. No grapes, no raisins, no wine. And so what happened is, you know, guys went all Duck Dynasty on people. What's going on here? I have a vow right now. And when God came through at the end of that vow, you would shave all the hair, baldy, men and women, baldy, burn the hair. God fulfilled it. Where's the grapes? That's a Nazarite vow. She says, I promise God, I will separate my son to you throughout his life. Psalm 50 verse 15 describes this moment as a four-step process where we are suffering. Four steps, we go to God. God designed us to go to God in sorrows. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. Notice the four steps. First step is actually in the second part. In the day of trouble. Maybe you're in your day of trouble. You're having a hard time. It's sorrowful. It's really difficult. Step one is having hard times. You find yourself on your own building. Call upon me. That's step two. Like instead of trying to numb the sorrows or drown out the sorrows or busy your mind, you don't think about your sorrows. You surrender yourself by coming to him in your sorrows. Step three, I will deliver you. That's the promise. The command, call upon him. The promise, I will deliver you. He doesn't say a time frame, but he promises it'll come through. And then step four, you shall glorify me. You'll tell people what happened to you. Guys, we were designed for surrender just like Hannah. And when we're down, we're designed to go to God sometimes year after year after year. Sometimes that sorrow is not going away, believing the promise that if we seek him, we will be found. And she, time and again, each year, surrendered that promise. Now, there's a second area of surrender we see, which is number two, surrender by believing God's promises. So Hannah surrenders by actually believing God's promises. And she's been believing God's promise from Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. That's the promise she's actually believing before, most likely. But then God gives her a brand new promise. Now, this is a change that's happened to me, by the way, since January. I was changed by God in January about how I read the Bible. See, I used to read the Bible looking for the command first. Like in the previous verse we looked at, call upon me in the day of trouble. Okay, there it is. There's the verb. I used to look for the command first. But in January, a switch happened. I looked for the promise first. And the tricky thing about this is the promise is often after the verb, after the command. Like I used to say, okay, call upon me in the day of trouble. Fantastic. Okay, I'll call upon you. No, you kind of skim past the command. You find the promise. Where's the promise? I will deliver you. And you say, God, I believe. I'm placing my faith in that promise. You promised to deliver me. I'm believing it. Then, after you believe the promise, okay, where's the verb? Where's the command? Okay, call upon you. Now that I've believed, now I'll call upon you. That change happened in my soul in January. It's also what that life of faith, that's what life of faith is. Living the gospel is believing first. Not doing first, then believe. You believe first, and then you do. And Hannah goes again up to her annual moment. And the high priest sees her. Here's another person's voice, this time a religious person's voice, telling this woman who she is and says to her, you're a drunk. She says, I'm not a drunk. She's accused falsely of being a drunk. Verse 14 says that. Verse 15, here's her answer. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I mean, she tells that person who falsely accused her, who's her religious leader. No, that's not true. I'm not a drunk. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I'm sad. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink. But I have poured out. I didn't pour in. I poured out my soul before the Lord. She says, I'm not a person who's drinking in. I'm pouring out my sadnesses. That's what you see. She's going to God in her sorrows. So then Eli should feel like a heel. Because he just called this woman who's sad and praying and fasting a drunk. My bad. So he gives her a promise, and this is a rock solid promise from God that she is going to have a baby. This is promise number two, a brand new promise, and she believes it. Here's what he says in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." Now again, how would the pre-January 28 Tim have read this command? Go in peace. There's the command. All right. I need to go and muster up peace. That's not how you read the Bible. You skim past the command. You find the promise. The God of Israel grants your petition that you've asked. Hannah goes, "God, did he just say that I think he said? I believe that. I believe you're going to give me what I've been asking. You're giving me a baby boy, and I'm going to surrender him. Now, where's the commandment? Okay, now I can go in peace." First thing that happens when you actually believe God, the promise, first thing you'll sense in your soul, peace. That's how you know you believed. Where's this peace coming from? That's freaky. Later, you'll sense joy. It says then, verse 18, and she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate. Where's the menu? Where's the buffet table? I mean, no more fasting. This is answered. There is no reason to fast and pray anymore. She's ready to eat. And her face, no longer sad. Not necessarily joyful yet, but just, what happened to your face? I see peace. We're called to do this, by the way. It's in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 describes this moment when each of us have where you believe. And by the way, it's what's ironic is it's the first three fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit are nine fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace. When you believe, you get them in reverse order. Peace is first. Then joy. What happened? Then love. I feel it more than I ever felt before. It comes in reverse order. Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in reverse order. You believe first. I believe that. What has happened to me? I have peace. Oh, now what am I sensing? Joy. And then love, Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace. It comes in reverse order from believing. Guys, is there a promise that God has for you in the scripture? God, you're on your building. And everything you feel says, don't trust this. Everything you see says, don't believe this. But your handler, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, trust me. And you're holding, it says, the ropes, the rigging, it's going to hold you. Just surrender to God's promises, straight to him and the promise. Just lean back. Just lean back. You sense peace, joy, and love. Now, there's a third moment of surrender, which is surrender by giving God what you love most. Surrender by giving God by what you love most. What do you love the most? What do you want the most? So from time to time, the Lord, you just sense this. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and you sense the hand. There's a smile behind it. Love. And that thing you love the most. You do not want to give that up. Surrender control of that? No way. This is a moment you're not going to have peace, nor joy, nor love. Not until you take it and go. Until you get your hands off it. And then God may give it right back. Might take it away. A season. Might take it and replace it forever. Abraham had that. He had his son Isaac. God went, give me your son. Ben Abusada had this years ago. He became a Christian. And God went this with him. Give me your music. And Ben went, gave up music. Playing, singing, listening to it. And later, God gave Ben Abusada music back. It's happened to me over the years. It might be a relationship with you. It might be a direction for you. A decision for you. What is that thing you love or want the most? So now, she actually gets pregnant and has a baby. Now it's 1064 BC. 1 Samuel 1 verse 20 says this. 1 Samuel 1 verse 20 says, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel. Samuel. El is the Hebrew name for God. God, El. Samuel. Heard by God. Hey, what's your son's name? Well, his name is Heard by God. Samuel. Why'd you name him Heard by God? Dude, I prayed for years in misery as Penina was a complete jerk to me, telling me I don't deserve this, I'd be a terrible mom, God doesn't love me, this will never change. I heard that voice in my head for years, and God answered my prayer. That's my boy's name, because I have asked for him from the Lord. They said, hey, it's time to go back to Shiloh. Let's head north 9 miles to worship. Not until I give my baby boy over to the priest to raise. She waits a few years. He's now weaned. Can you imagine taking the baby boy you've been praying for years and turning him over to be adopted by the priests? She arrives to Eli, hands her baby boy over. Eli, the priest, goes, what are you doing, lady? Well, I prayed for this boy. Verse 27, for this child I prayed. And the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. His name is Samuel, heard by God. Verse 28, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. She says to Eli, this isn't my boy anyway. I'm lending him to God. This is God's boy. Realize, your kids are not your kids. They're not. They're God's kids. Your house is not your house. It's God's house. Your job, it's not your job. It's God's job. Who you date, not your choice. Not your choice, it's God's choice. Future decisions, not your choice. It's God's choice. Your money, it's not your money. It's God's money. There's this moment she knows that this boy is not hers. It's not hers. You'd think she's miserable about it, but no. When you surrender, you get peace, then joy. Where's it coming from? Chapter 2, verse 1, how does she worship? And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices. Just turned over her baby boy she's been praying for years for. Peace, joy, love in reverse order. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at Penina. I smile at my enemies. You know, Penina was in her head, at least tried to now. Didn't work this time. You seriously giving away your baby boy? You're ridiculous. God finally blessed you doing that? You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. I can't. You probably never have another child. It'll never change for you now. They come back. And she went like this to Penina. I got joy. Talk all you want, girl. Because I rejoice in his salvation. I serve the God who hears. I have joy. What do you love the most? What do you want the most? Because Hannah surrendered her baby boy, 2 books of the Bible written after him, or has his name on them at least. Her stories impact billions of people because she surrendered her baby boy. How about you? Let's go back to that picture we saw earlier, the moment that someone surrenders. There's this moment, I will never forget it. Never forget it. I literally finally thought to myself, God, I might die, but I am backing off this building. And the entire time, Jim's like, trust me, trust me. It's okay, the ropes have got you. God and the promises have got me. And I backed off, and the next photo happened. When you're rappelling, it works! I didn't die! You're there, and Jim's like, okay, now kick away from the building. Woo! This is amazing! The ropes are holding me, the promises are holding me. He says, now, fix the Christmas lights. Oh yeah, that's why I'm here. So I go down a little bit, and I like, I'm sure they sounded like that. And you pull out the little old broken light, you pull in the new, and you go all 8 stories down. It's amazing. He's going down the other corner together. We get to the bottom, and he goes, Tim, there are 4 corners on this building. No! So we go to the other side. I had a friend say, isn't jumping on the building, isn't this faith to jump on the building? The building has a roof, and I have faith here. Yes, it's called little faith. So I back off again, and I can tell you, it was scary the second time. Guys, it was still scary. But it wasn't as scary. It was scary again, but it wasn't as scary. Because I had the experience knowing that God had come through. What does God want you to surrender? In your sorrows, what do you surrender to? The promises, is it time to back off the building? Are you ready to surrender what you love the most? That is the gospel. Jesus Christ surrendered himself. God the Father surrendered his Son. That is the gospel. That's living the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love for us, your surrender for us. We pray for those who need to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ because you surrendered to the Father, because you surrendered. May they receive the gospel. To those who need to surrender in new areas, the gospel. We pray you do that in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.